Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Buckets. That's the name of my boat. Buckets.
Buckets. Buckets. What we get.
Not the only transfer we got from Florida. Buckets. Keith Stone, too. Remember that.
Everybody who watches his show on a regular basis knows my love of the stretch four.
You know, we all make mistakes. He might have made one going to town.
It's mercy if y'all don't know. Dribble to the left, cross over to the right. Hurricane to the game, many buckets for the night. Matt with the pick and roll, but listen with the give and go. This shelly you, hoodie girl, dunk it in the hole. Check the scoreboard, this what we fall for. Peep the gameplay, they want an encore. Yeah, over time for another round. It's buckets after buckets, baby. You out of town. It's buckets. What it is, homie, it's buckets. Woo! We get buckets.
Yeah, baby. Buckets. 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 I have no shame.
I know. That's the problem.
You guys are awesome.
What up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of Buckets here on Five Reasons Sports, Five Reasons Canes. You got me and Vish tonight. We're going to do a deep dive into the women's basketball season and talk about how the NCAA royally screwed them out of a tournament selection. Tonight's quote is, fuck the NCAA. That's right. Fuck them. How are you, Vish?
Yeah, not great, actually. Obviously, we didn't expect to. This show was supposed to be the
breakdown of who we were
playing. Yeah, the breakdown of who we were playing, and instead, it's you know, we're gonna be going through. I don't even know what to call what we're gonna do. It's gonna be looking at the other teams that they let in, and I mean, yeah, that's the overarching theme. But we're gonna be deep diving into some of the teams they let in, because I do think there's an element of people saying, well, you know, they should have done this, they can't should have done that. And the reality is, as we'll get into in very great detail, you know, there was an uneven standard applied across the board. I think that's the like, if there was a consistent standard that left the Canes out, you can say, all right, you know, we don't agree with it, but
absolutely no rhyme or reason to them being left out of the tournament. First off, hi to Daniel, always in the chat. What's up?
And also, I'm curious
to know if he's ever here at the end.
I want Daniel
to drop an adios at the end of our stream to show that
you can't expect someone to stay here for like 2.5 hours or whatever long our show is. That's not fair. But when we do a normal length show, maybe. But also, before we get into the negative stuff, shout out to Long Beach State.
Go Beach. Let's go.
I still actually don't know what their nickname is. but shout out to Long Beach State.
That's Matt's alma mater. The men won their conference and are going to be going to the NCAA tournament for like the first time since, what did Matt say?
I think it was like 10 plus years. It's been a while.
It's been a long time.
Yeah, they will be losing to Arizona in the first round, but still a great run.
We did. I was just on Maxed Out on the Miami Flow Network right before this, and we did a quick, like, who did we think was going to come out of each region? And we got to that region, and I was like, I really want to pick Long Beach State for Matt, but I'm going to pick Arizona.
You mean the Long Beach State Beach program, as ESPN calls them.
We will have matching hoodies, though.
We will have matching hoodies. We will also.
I bought the co-hosts, the three of us, all Long Beach basketball hoodies,
which resulted in my credit card getting effed up.
The store is not used to people ordering the hoodies, so they called both of us to confirm it wasn't fraud. The girl even said, "Oh, we get a lot of fraud, so we want to make sure that you actually ordered it."
She just told me it was because it was out of state.
Oh, I don't know. They confirmed it with me. See,
they confirmed it with me too, and then my credit card company had a problem with it. So and that kind of messed my evening up a little bit. But
shout out to our boy Matt and his alma mater making the NCAA tournament. It's gonna be a short run. If they beat Arizona, holy crap. But
still an accomplishment there.
Still an accomplishment. Yeah, especially because they agreed to part ways with their
If he was on Levitard on yesterday, it's only Tuesday. And yeah, he
got fired.
Yeah, he got fired.
He coached the conference.
Yeah, well, apparently what he had agreed to with the school was I agree we might need a new direction, new voice. Let's wait till the tournament's over, see how we do, and then we'll and they just released a statement saying mutually agreed to part ways is what he so and then they asked him, would you go back now? Because obviously he's like,
yeah.
And he was like, would you go back to the girl that dumped you or something? So it was very much not a mutually agreed to part ways, but he's moving on and moving up. He took him to the tournament. So
there you go.
Also, we will do a detail. We have a show tomorrow night. It's Matt, myself, and a couple other guys that I don't know that Matt knows.
They're going to do a bracket
breakdown. So stay tuned for those network.
I work tomorrow. Otherwise, I would also be there.
Oh, we'd probably be doing buckets tomorrow, actually, because Matt would be there too. We would do three.
Are we doing one Thursday?
I think we landed on no because Matt's got like Matt takes the so. We're all basketball fans, obviously, and we're not
because he wants to watch the games.
Yeah, well, Melissa and I are basketball fans that are Miami here, and then everything else like 4 million people out. So
Matt's like everything.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely Miami's at the top, but then right under it is like all the other. So he's got like He's got watch parties at his house and stuff. And Melissa and I are like, yeah, we'll totally do the show during the tournament games. And Matt's like,
Well, this is what you got to understand. Obviously, the men's season was really disappointed. But, like, I was expecting to come on here and be like, all right, the women, you know, we're going to be in the tournament. Who are we playing? What's the outlook for that bracket? Can we get back to the Elite Eight? Like, who are we expecting to step up? And instead, we're going to be talking about how they got royally snubbed. And played pretty much as well as they did last season, if not better. So I was at work during Selection Sunday, and so Vish is texting me updates, and we got to the final side of the bracket reveal, and we both knew it was coming because of what was left.
Yeah, we should probably walk through that before we talk about some of the teams that were let in. So actually, the first thing, if you look back at our text, the first thing I saw that kind of worried me a little bit was North Carolina got an 8 seed, and they were projected as a 6-7. So I'm like, okay, they're clearly like undervaluing the ACC over where the teams were projected to land. So that was kind of the first thing that was like that. If they're an 8, that's not great. And then you started to see teams like that we're going to get into a little bit, like A&M and Columbia and Vanderbilt get in. You're like, okay, there's now no room for us. And that is essentially what had happened. There was no room for us because they'd given spots to teams, which we're going to talk about.
Just to preface all of this. So the last bracket prediction by ESPN that was done on Sunday at 4:55 PM. Selection Sunday was at what, 8?
Yeah, it was at 8.
So 3 hours and 5 minutes, ironically, before selection show, they put out their final bracket predictions. Okay, they had Columbia as a first four out. They had A&M and Vanderbilt as a last four in play-ins in the first four, and they had Miami as a last four bye along with Auburn. So they had Miami as a 10 seed. They had Auburn as an 11 seed, and then they had Texas A&M and Vanderbilt as 11 seeds, but in play-in games. All right.
Yeah, and I would say for some more discussion around that, they said the Canes are firmly in the field. Mm-hmm. You know, chance to potentially they might be higher than they've seeded them, but you know, this is kind of the floor.
They said we were firmly in the field before the ACC tournament, and then we still got a win against North Carolina.
Yeah, and again, that was kind of the commentary was that North Carolina win, they're basically a lock now. I think in the bubble breakdown, they asked, should be in. And then said, you know, the 10 seed that they're in is kind of the floor. They could move up, could be higher than that. They won't be lower than this. Boy, were they wrong.
Let's first, I think we should talk about like the most heinous one got in.
Here we go. We have graphics. So not real graphics. I have
this might be the most show prep that we've ever done.
I have a computer program.
Okay. Now we're not gonna say who's who.
It's pretty freaking obvious though.
It's probably obvious. But so on the A side, you've got a net rate of 51 and the other team 57. Strength of schedule. 56 versus 102. The average opponent net rank, one side's higher than the other. You look at A is stronger than C on every single level. Like,
correct.
C has no net wins in the top 25, only one in the top 50. A has four. The conference strength of schedule, 40 to 111. All right. So team A is higher in every single category than team C. Guess who got into the tournament? Team C.
Yeah, and this is why one of the reasons we're upset, because this is just not fair. And
there's nothing here to explain why C would get in.
And this is also where I wanted to address another point that we keep. You know, we've obviously been talking about this on Twitter and been getting comments back. And one of the comments is, "Well, win your games then." Explain to me, looking at this. Well, hold on. Just explain to me, looking at this. How many more games do you have to win for them to conclude that the team in column A is more worthy than the team in column C? How many more wins? How much more do those numbers need to move? Honest question. If you're going to say win more games, answer that. Otherwise, shut up. Because I'm sick of that statement when – this is a comparison. It's always a comparison.
Yeah, no, idiots on Twitter.
There's not a hard and fast metric of you do this, you're in. There are no rules. It is a comparison. These are the things that
idiots on Twitter are like, oh, you were 8-10 in conference. You need to win more conference games. I mean, eight other teams in the conference made the tournament. How many more games would you like us to win?
But again,
literally, Team C's best win is a win in their conference. But one team that literally did not beat any other tournament-bound team besides that one team. And then they lost to that team in their conference tournament.
At home by 17 points.
So just to make this clear, Team A is Miami. Team C is Columbia.
Right. But I think the operative thing here is if you're looking at this as the committee and you're saying we are putting Team C in anyway – then just tell Team A you just need to win more games. There was no way these stats were going to move in a way that they were going to pick Team A over Team C. None. Like, they were going to put Columbia in. Because if you're looking at this and you're concluding, yes, we're going to put Columbia in with another win against the top 25 or the top 50 to make it 5-1 instead of 4-1, is that going to make the difference? No. So
does our top five win against NC State not speak for itself? Does a win against UNC, who was in and out of the rankings all year, a win against Duke, who was in and out of the rankings all year? Like, I don't understand what beat Jackson State, who won their tournament, won their conference tournament. Yeah, that's going.
So I think overall, the Canes played 13. They played 13 teams that ended up in the tournament. Columbia played four. Three of those games were against Princeton. They lost two of those by a combined 32 points, and they won one by 2 points. And they also lost to Duke at a conference. That's their four games they played against tournament teams. But again, I think this shout out to Nate.
Princeton is their best win because like the only other tournament team they played was Duke.
Right. They played point. They played.
Who four, we beat?
Right. I mean, we you don't want to necessarily do the transitive property, but all I'm saying is when you say you should win more games, that assumes that anyone is actually paying attention to who's winning what. Because again, making another, a fifth win, like the Canes played Virginia Tech in the quarterfinals of the ACC tournament. If they had won that, it would be 3 wins against the 1-25 instead of 2. You think that was going to change the decision here? It's they don't care. And I think that's the point. When you say, and that's the frustrating part, and that's why we're complaining. Because so when the numbers are this lopsided, to say win more games doesn't make sense. Because all that's going to do is like, you don't need to make the gap bigger.
I will point out, we had 13 games against tournament-bound teams this season, including the ACC tournament. Columbia had...
They had four.
Four.
It's 3 points. And one.
They lost 3 of the 4 of them.
That number argument.
And they lost 3 of the 4 of them. All right? We beat 4 tournament teams and kept it close for the most part with the other ones. There's a couple of bad ones, but those teams, like literally Notre Dame won the ACC. Virginia Tech is a top 10 team. We beat NC State. Louisville is a top 20 team. So, I mean... I'm not sure where you look at this and you look at their schedules and you say, oh, Columbia is more deserving.
Well, they're not. And I think that's the point. There's no way to spin it that way.
They did it because they wanted the first time team.
We're going to get to that in a second, I think. But I think this should hopefully address the whole, well, you got to win more if you want to. They did win more. They won significantly more than the team they let in. So saying that you need to widen this already massive gap, where there isn't a single metric you can look at that shows Columbia ahead on anything, is an absurd claim. It's like saying any team could be left out. You should have gone undefeated. Like they could have left out a number one seed. They could have left out Texas and said, well, if you've gone undefeated, you'd be in. Like, I mean, what are we doing here? Out,
we did beat Mississippi State at Mississippi State when they were ranked.
I mean,
Mississippi State also got snubbed.
Well, sort of. I mean, there's a whole thing we're going to talk about there.
Yeah,
but I mean, the thing at the time stuff doesn't, because you know you can overrate teams, but we're looking at the same numbers the committee looks at, and just across the board, Columbia is significantly worse. So again, saying that the Canes need to improve their resume doesn't make sense, because you can't widen a gap that's already so wide. The gap is being ignored. It does not matter how much you widen this gap here. They were going to let Columbia in, and Melissa pointed this out earlier. If you want to know why Columbia was let in, that's the committee chairman on the right. Does she look pleased that she's talking about how Columbia made the tournament for the first time? This is a travesty. That is the committee chairman. Wow, the fuck sign makes an appearance. That committee chairman is behaving like that, gleefully, not justifying Columbia in at all, just saying, first time. That is, I mean, kudos to them. I'm sure they're thrilled. They showed videos of them celebrating, all that stuff. It's not fair, and it's supposed to be a neutral committee decision. They clearly let them in because it was the first time in. And you could tell because she's not even hiding it. One of the things that happens, unfortunately, you know, the coverage of women's sports isn't there yet. Because if the men, if they'd done this, like the committee chairman would have gotten ripped to shreds. The bracket show for the women didn't even mention who the bubble teams were, who the last four out in, who the first four out were. And so, we're going to get this, Nate. I have a nugget on this. But
I feel like we should have just brought him on.
There's an unbelievable nugget around the pro wrestling aspect of this, which I'm going to talk about later. But this is why Columbia was let in. Because they were like, you know what? They're kind of close and they're never made before and they'll probably never make it again. Let's put them in. That's not fair to the teams that played better, that worked harder, and that worked as hard. I mean, all these kids work hard, but there's teams that perform better on the court, and it's supposed to be a meritocracy. Yeah, absolutely. And this is the thing. Not only didn't have the courage to call the chair out, there wasn't even a show discussion about this. They went to the chair, they asked her how they determined the one seed, and then they ended the interview. Then they interviewed Don Staley, and then they ended the show.
And can we quickly mention that the WBIT just assumed Miami was
going to get to that. We're going to get to that after this. That's the next in the after this discussion. We're going to get to that shit show and how they handled it, to be honest.
Vish was about to book a flight.
I know. I mean, I'll tell you, I told Coach I was coming and then I saw the thing and I was like, never mind, Coach.
So wait, can we talk about the SEC real quick?
Yeah, here. I pivoted to it. I'm on top of things.
So, Vish, just to point out, because Nate's in the chat, I want to say, like, as much as me and you were talking about this, like, after Selection Sunday, I don't know how I managed to do this and work at the same time. Like, my phone was literally going to turn off because it was overheated. But as much as I was texting with you, I was texting with Nate. Like, the anger just coming from the three of us was insane.
Well, I think it's multifold. We talked about, like, they couldn't get away with this in another... As popular as women's basketball has become, the idea that what we were talking about happened, and not only did it happen, there was no discussion of it on the post-game show, on the bracketology show they did afterwards where the men and women were mixed when they asked, like, yeah, Miami got screwed. And that was it. There was no – and actually the interview that I pulled this photo from of her clearly enjoying the hell out of her decision to screw Miami over and put Columbia in for the first time. That is an interview with someone that works for the NCAA that they released at 11:45 at night. Like, I mean, this is not covered correctly and they avoid the scrutiny that the men's committee did. Like, as much as like I heard endlessly about St. John's, I didn't hear crap about this and this is way worse. And so, I mean, that's part of this is they can get away with it because the scrutiny is not there yet. It is at the top. People know Caitlin Clark. People know South Carolina. The sport is growing in popularity, which is great. But it still does not get the scrutiny top to bottom that the men's game gets. And you know, the men's show does center, the discussion centers around who got left out, what was done fairly, what was done unfairly. It's not even mentioned on the women's show. And so because of that, they can do things like, I mean, we showed the resumes. Columbia has no business being in this tournament. And not only did they played two tournament teams. They just played one of them three times.
Yep.
Not only did they only win the one game by 2 points, they lost by 15 at Princeton. And they hosted the Ivy League tournament. They got Princeton on their home floor, played them on Saturday, lost by 17. They got blown out at home. And they just, the committee's like, forget it, they're in anyway, because they had to put, because of this. That's why they put them in, because of this.
Oh, we're going to get to Texas A&M. That's next. That's why we have the
that's
SEC.
Next. That's next.
So two other SEC teams that got in instead of us was Vanderbilt. And
no, there's three. There's three. Because
Auburn, Vanderbilt, and Texas A&M. And they left out Mississippi State. Yeah, so if people want to say, oh, well, you didn't finish 500 in conference, whatever, Texas A&M went 6-10. They do not have a single ranked win on their tournament resume. Not a single one. 6-10. Their best win was Tennessee.
Yeah.
Who limped into the tournament.
And Nate asks a question that we'll never get the answer to.
How can you be four games under 500 in a weaker conference and be in? It's a really good question, especially when you don't have a single ranked win on your resume.
We will add to this because Vanderbilt finished 9-7 in that conference. And when asked the committee chairman to describe why Vanderbilt got in off the bubble, because they had a winning conference record, was her answer, which was clearly a shot at us because we went 8-10 in the ACC. Which is better? Well, which is one, as Nate said, 8-10 in the ACC is better than 9-7 in the SEC. It's a much stronger conference. Two, you let A&M in at 6-10 and didn't even make them play a play-in game. So all of a sudden, in fact, this is the most infuriating part. So the beginning of that's about a 5-minute video, which is all we get for women's coverage. The beginning was her describing how they determined the one seeds. They said, she goes literally spends 30 seconds talking about how it's impossible to use conference record as a metric because even within the conference, which happens to us too, and happens in the SEC and all these conferences with a million teams in it, she's like, even within the conference, like their teams are playing different opponents. So like one team might be 8-8, the other team might be 9-7, but the 8-8 team might have played a much more difficult schedule in the same conference. So she's like, you can't really look at that. Then immediately when that's what the bubble teams, well, we looked at the conference record.
Meanwhile,
it's like taking crazy pills.
Meanwhile, the SEC has two ranked teams at the end of the season. Two. I think the ACC had five?
More. I'll tell you that. We're doing some live scrolling here.
Keep going. Atlantic.
I know. I'm scrolling.
A lot of bigs. There we go.
Five. Yeah, no, it's a tougher conference. The Canes were better in the conference. You can see here, the Canes had two ranked wins. The we're going back to the SEC section. The three SEC teams they let in off the bubble combined for one ranked win. Just Auburn. The Canes had more than all three of those teams combined.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
But wait, there's more. So Melissa mentioned Mississippi State and how they finished 8-8 in the SEC and didn't get
it. I will say Auburn had one ranked win against LSU. They then proceeded to lose to them twice after that. And Auburn lost to Vanderbilt and Texas A&M.
Right. But we're talking about like a cross comparison, right?
Yeah, so no, I'm just saying. Like,
so just to be clear, the explanation we heard so far were, you know, from the committee chair was Vanderbilt got in because they had a winning conference record, which they do. So, again, we tried, even if we don't agree with decisions, we try to logically break them down. So had they left A&M out and put Mississippi State in instead and said, you know, the Canes weren't in because they didn't finish 500, neither was A&M, at least you could look at and say some logical consistency is there. Now, why couldn't they do that? Well, if you recall, the Canes went into Starkville. One of us was there. And blew out Mississippi State in Starkville. So they could not put Mississippi State in front of Miami, which is why Texas A&M leapt in there from 6-10. Because as Nate said, they reverse engineered the bracket narrative. Magically, the ACC and SEC ended up with the same number of teams. We know where the money is, and we know where the relationship with the TV is and with the committee is. It's with the SEC. So they actually let in Vanderbilt, Auburn, and Texas A&M were three of like the last five teams in the field. They all got in. And then Miami was the last team out. Magically, it ended up being.
No, Miami was the first team out.
Yeah, sorry, first team out.
Yeah.
They were the 69th team. Nice. Not nice this time, though.
If you're a Mississippi State fan, you got to be pissed also. I mean.
Well, Mississippi State got caught up in it because Mississippi State cannot be in over Miami. So if they put Mississippi State in, they have to put Miami in, which means they either have to put nine SEC teams in to keep it even and boot out two other bubble teams.
Texas A&M doesn't deserve to be there.
No, but they can't do that, Melissa, because, again, you're not understanding.
You got to have more SEC teams.
Or the same, right? Or so the if same. They put a ninth ACC team in, they need to put a ninth SEC team in, which means they need to put Miami and Mississippi State in. They need to boot out two more bubble teams. So not just Columbia, someone else had to go. Yeah, exactly. So the truth is the Canes have better resumes than all of these teams if you look across the statistics. But if you pick any of the metrics and say these are the two most important, the three most important, they might fall behind. For example, if you say conference record is the most important, you know, they fall behind some of these teams. Don't fall behind all of them. There's no way to slice and dice. You could argue, hey, this team should be a higher seed than Miami using this logic, and you can make that case on some of these. But if you do that, then use that same logic, it means, well, Miami's still in.
But you can also make the case, and obviously we're a biased show because we're Miami fans, but this is pure fact. You take these three SEC teams we just talked about plus Columbia, and you compare their overall tournament resume with Miami. Miami is the best out of all five teams.
Right. That's not, it's well, not actually, it's there, actually
there's
not
no, there's no question about it. If you want to nitpick one statistic that maybe one team has over Miami, you can say, oh, well, Vanderbilt has a better conference record. That's all you can say. The strength of schedule for Miami is definitely better. You look at the ACC overall as a conference, it is much stronger than the SEC. I understand they have South Carolina and LSU, but after that, it plummets.
Right, but I think the point is, even if you take you look at some of the, you can look at, like, for Columbia and Miami, the reason we showed the whole thing is because it's literally there isn't a single
statistic. It's pure obvious.
Right, so that's just nonsense. But yeah, you could certainly, like, you could make the case that any of these teams, if you want to look at certain metrics, are higher than Miami. The problem is, if you say, okay, this is what's important, and you apply it across all the teams, Miami gets it.
Yeah.
The only way that they're completely out of the tournament is if you say, well, for A&M, we're looking at, frankly, I don't even know. They have no.
There's no explanation. There's honestly no explanation.
Yeah, but there's no explanation there. But if you want to, if you want to look at certain things and say, well, for this number matters, that number matters, you know, you can probably piece something together.
Well, for instance, Vanderbilt and Auburn. Oh, at least 500 in the SEC. Okay. For A&M and Columbia, there's absolutely no explanation for why either of those teams got in over Miami. There's none. Find me a number. There's none.
Right. And I think, and that's where you get into the, you know, that's where the complaints and the snubs come in, and the term snubs come in, because, well, it's easy to knee jerk and say, oh, win more games, do this, do that. When you're already significantly ahead on the numbers the committee says is important, the numbers the committee is saying, this is how we seeded the team, and you go look those numbers up, and it's like, Miami's better on these numbers, then I don't know exactly how many more wins you thought the Canes would need to have for them to actually care, because they didn't care.
Can you pull up the Columbia stats again while we're talking about this?
Yep.
As we're talking about this, I just want to see like the glaring, like,
yeah, no, this is egregious. This is the point, though, right? Is that when you're doing, when the committee is looking at things like what we're looking at on the screen again, if you're listening to the audio, it's basically a bunch of numbers that show the Canes are significantly better than Columbia across every metric. But if the committee is looking at this and saying, you know what, we're going with Columbia anyway, there's no amount of winning that was going to change that. Because they didn't care. And I think that's the frustrating part. That's why we're upset. Look, we understand Miami's not the first, and they won't be the last team to get snubbed. And that's the reality of it.
But it's not close.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's not close.
It's not even close.
Well, I think it's two things. It's that it was not close, is that an explanation was not given. It was just the commissioner going, Columbia's in for the first time. And I think that is the frustrating part, because it was very clear that they didn't take a neutral view of this. They did not. Nate says they reverse engineered it. They absolutely did, but they also just didn't even, I mean, sometimes the numbers are too overwhelming to ignore. And this is certainly, you know, one of those instances. They had their mind map, the SEC will get theirs. And then Columbia got in because they were the first time in. But I can tell you right now, like, they were not putting Miami in there because they were not going to have more ACC teams than SEC teams. So there was no amount of winning other than winning the ACC tournament that was going to do it. And I think people need to understand that. And that's the part that's upsetting, because it's fine to say you should win more games, you should have done this, you should have done that. Every team can say that at any point if you've been left out of the tournament, right? The problem is when you're comparing teams and one is clearly better across the numbers, saying win more games assumes that anyone's even looking, because they weren't. And that's unacceptable. If you look at what's on the screen right now and say we're going with the team with all of the worst numbers, what exactly is the team with the better numbers got to do?
Why did we even play a season? But why did we even play a season at this point? Yeah, like, this is so glaringly obvious, like, just like pure incompetency by the committee. Why did we even bother playing this season?
Well, I mean, incompetence means...
No, it is incompetency. Look at the numbers.
No, it's not
incompetence. There's nothing there that says, oh, Team C is better than Team A.
It's not incompetence, okay? And I'll tell you why. Because no one could be this stupid. This is intentional. Incompetence actually lets them off the hook. It assumes that they somehow could not tell. That's not what happened here. They let them in because they'd never been in before. They were kind of close. They're like, let's do them a solid. This ain't make a wish, man. It's competitive athletics.
It's no, safekeeping.
No, it's and that's it's not because again, it's intentional.
No, it's intentional incompetency.
It's bad faith.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's malice.
Malice.
No, because incompetence means like they didn't know any better. They knew better. They looked at this. And that's what I'm saying. Five, let's say the Canes won two more games. Getting this up to six wins, is that enough? Seven wins, is that enough? To beat the one by 2 points at home randomly against Princeton, the only one that they had? How many more do they have, how much more do you have to increase the gap before it's enough?
How much? Their best win was against Princeton.
Yeah, by two.
Our best win was against a top five power conference team, and we won by double digits.
And I think this is the problem when you've already, it's like, I mean, here's an analogy, right? You get a 95 on your test and your teacher gives you a C and someone else gets an 80 and they give them an A. And you said, well, you should have gotten 100. Like, I don't know what to do with that. Does that going to matter? Why did I get a C for a 95 in the first place? Why is getting 100 going to change that? That's what people said in the Canes should have. Yes, they could have won more games. Yes, it would have been great if they won. It would have been great if they went undefeated. They'd be the one seed overall.
I mean, they should be traveling to a lot of games.
Well, we wouldn't have to travel that much because they'd be in Miami. But
I mean, also, I will say, literally, me and Vish were discussing about possibilities of where we could travel to next weekend, depending on when the Canes were going to play. Like, we were that confident. I was on Coach Hayes last week, and someone asked me why I was confident that the Canes were going to make it, and I gave all of these reasons. That in our minds, there was no doubt.
Yeah, no, that's
100%. Our win over Jackson State would easily be there. It is. Would easily
be there. Let's be real. If we drop Columbia into the ACC, they'd be the worst team there. So, I mean, I don't even – like, this is not – it's a nonsense decision to include them. We know why. The committee chairman showed us.
But it's – but honestly, like, we can sit here and be angry as fans, but it's honestly like we're very – we cover the team, so we're very invested in these players. We've had Coach on twice. She's named the show. We love this team. And for them to not be able to participate in March when they've obviously earned it, it's really disappointing, especially for Jada Patrick. Like, this was her last season. This was her chance to – like, she hadn't played in the tournament, I don't think.
No, she hadn't because she transferred from Columbia,
She was actually super happy on Instagram for them when Columbia got announced. She was like, I mean, she obviously turned it off like right after, but like, it's just disappointing for a team where everyone's expecting to get
well,
in.
Well, I think
had a watch party. ESPN had a live look in camera at the facility.
Right.
Like, it was assumed that they were going to get in. And the hard work that they've put in throughout the season, for them to be obviously in every single projection and then to get snubbed for teams that have worse numbers by far than them, it's absolutely ridiculous.
It's outrageous.
And disappointing. Yeah. And it's outrageous. It's horrible.
It's one of those things. Yeah. And again, like, the projections can obviously be wrong. Like, all those things can, you know, the reason we're, Melissa is of course right. We're personally invested in, this is our team. We cover them. We're close with the team more so than any other team on campus. We're close with the women's basketball team. So
I think we're so more
this we yeah we took
than anything else.
Yeah, than anything else on campus. Well, yeah. I think generally speaking, I would say across our network, mm-hmm. we have a better relationship with the women's basketball team than anyone else. So look, we are taking it personally, and that's why we're getting emotional about it and upset about it. And I tweet this. I always try to look at things and say, okay, I don't agree with this, but what is the rationale? There should be some rationale for it, right? And I'm looking, and I think the frustrating thing here is there is none you can apply that if applied fairly would have the Canes not playing this weekend. And so, and that's the frustrating thing. Yeah, it's awful for the team that worked hard. Look, all these teams work hard, right? Like, Columbia worked really hard to get near the tournament, but they just weren't good enough. Like, they were just worse than the Canes on every metric. It's a comparison. And for them to get in and not Miami, you know, good for them. You know, it's the first time the program's in. They were obviously very excited about it, but we got screwed here. And they show that and the committee chairman can laugh about it and think it's awesome that they're a first time participant. And they can show the video of them celebrating in shock because they knew they weren't going to get in until they got in all of a sudden. And that's all fine. Like Melissa said, show the camera of Miami, the team that earned it, not getting in. You didn't do that. Because you screwed them and you pretended they didn't exist in the entire show after that. And there's no,
just, It's even, and then honestly, like, yeah, we're disappointed our team didn't get in, but it's even worse because, like we said, it's not even close.
Right, and that's the thing. Like
it's blatantly just leaving out a team because of favoritism.
No, it's not. They've been underseeded several times. I mean, I think it's worth noting. Melissa and I talk a lot about the ACC tournament a few years ago, and you know, Destiny Harden led that comeback against Louisville. That Canes team, Louisville was a one seed in the NCAA tournament that year. They went to the finals of the ACC tournament and, you know, took NC State down to the wire, who was also a one seed. The ACC had two one seeds that year. Got sent to South Carolina. Like, normally, the Canes don't get screwed out of the tournament. They get seeded poorly. I mean, the men have been perpetually seeded poorly. We saw last year.
2012-2013 was the worst screwing of a seeding for the men's basketball team that I've ever seen in my entire life. But that's a whole nother
story. Yeah, no, they became the first ACC
team. Double dipped the ACC and didn't get a one seed, but yeah. We won't go into that.
Yeah, so these programs are perpetually underseeded. This is the first time, though, I can remember just, I mean, there wasn't really even a question. And actually, we talked about this in our chat before, like, the weekend's games. And I pointed out the
we talked about this,
yeah,
too.
Yeah. Yeah. No, we've actually when I wrote about the team last year, I talked about how, like, this was after they finally made the Sweet 16. I kind of went through some of what they had to overcome. And this is certainly one of them. As a three seed getting sent to play at Gonzaga as the 11th seed is ridiculous. And of course, they flew cross country and lost that game. But, you know, it's a team. We're perpetually underseeded. I mean, for baseball fans, you'll recall the year the streak ended of consecutive NCAA tournaments, the Canes were also magically the first team out of that when they had stronger resumes than the teams that were in. Because they had an opportunity, because the Canes baseball is usually hosting, and clearly, and to the point, you can't leave them out. That time they were on the bubble, and guess what magically happened? So, you know, this is kind of it's a perpetual thing. And it's just, this is pretty egregious. And obviously we covered the team, so we're going to talk about it. And if people want to say, just move on, to what? There's no games left, dummy. they took the season away.
It's hard too, because we had the show planned, like, last week, like after we finished the ACC tournament, we were discussing, like, oh, Vish was texting me, like, what day are you off? Let's plan to talk about Selection Sunday to break down our bracket. Like, this has been planned since the end of the ACC tournament. We knew we were going to do a show to talk about where we were going. Canes Cat Heat, we have a baseball show.
Yeah, no, he is the most avid watcher of that. Yeah, we will be on Thursday.
Yeah, but shout out.
I think he's talking about my comment, like, when people are like, you should just move. I was like, what should we move on? He's got the little.
He's trolling.
Yeah, we know.
There is a baseball show. Canes Cats Heat will be one of our OGs that comes on our fan show. That is going to come up soon. we just need some time to decompress. Should I just announce who it's going to be? I mean, I'm assuming they're all going to want to.
No, we should check first. Let's not put anyone on the spot.
Well, I know three of the four do.
I let's not do that yet.
Okay. But Canes Cat Heat's going to be one of them.
Yes, he will. I mean, it is. It's unfortunate the season's over. You know, yeah, it's one of those things we're not going to forget. No. So because it's.
But I would like to make a mockery over the WBIT.
Yeah, so just let me walk us through this. So so for those that aren't aware, in women's basketball, there's a new tournament this year called the WBIT, which doesn't actually replace the WNIT. The WNIT just becomes the third tournament. If you follow men's, you've heard of, like, the CBI. It's the equivalent of that for the NIT. So now the WBIT is a new tournament, and the
within first, like, four, 20 minutes.
Right. Well, the first four teams left out of the NCAA tournament automatically are the top four seeds in the WBIT, which means you host the first three rounds. And so, of course, like you said, within about 20 minutes of the bracket being released and Miami being screwed, of course, Miami was the first team out. So they are announced as the number one overall seed in the WBIT.
It may not even have been 20 minutes.
Yeah, so they tweeted out they do a whole bracket show, release the bracket with Miami's the number one overall seed. We were playing Stony Brook on Thursday for all of
that. Stony Brook's some radio account tweeted that they were coming to Miami.
Yeah, no, but that's because they had they were doing the announcements in parallel to that. I saw that first and then I realized, yeah. Oh, they're actually announcing the bracket.
Yeah.
So I saw them announce the bracket. And yeah, we you know, we were gonna host three games.
Me and Vish were planning on what
game. Yeah, I was like, can I fly down on Wednesday night? I sent Coach Meyer a message like, I'm coming down for this. This sucks, but I want to be there to support you guys. And then all of a sudden,
they release a new bracket.
Well, first they tweet out, congratulations to our number one seed, James Madison.
Who wasn't even in the tournament at all, originally.
This is the thing. That they delete the bracket and just upload a new one and tweet out, well, James Madison is the number one overall seed. To Melissa's point, they weren't even in the tournament. Rather than redo the whole bracket, they just swapped them in from Miami, who obviously declined the invite. And how they didn't bother to check. How about they – yeah, well, I mean, Coach likes me. I think it's fine. But talk about, like, just, you don't even do the barest of – the NCAA is such a shit show. When they weren't busy, like, fucking the bracket up and screwing us over, they're like, over here. Check. They didn't even bother to, like, reach out to, like, the – Well, all they do is ask, you know, I mean, we know the contacts. I'm not going to say their names here, but I could have told you could have texted and gotten an answer in 2 minutes. Like, what are you doing? Like,
because our assumption is they announced it. So we assume.
Yeah, no. I mean, once they announce it, you're like, okay, I guess we did.
So we're like, oh, I'm like, oh, I'm off next weekend. Vish is looking at flights. Like, we're trying to figure it out. Yeah, he's like, oh, I hope it's not an afternoon game, like a 2:30 game, because I have to work. Like, that's the whole thing. So you assume they announce it, and then they literally have to go back and delete all of this stuff. And then they just pull in
No explanation for anything. None.
They just tried to pretend like it didn't happen.
Yeah, and but now James Madison, who was not good enough to make the field of the WBIT, is now hosting.
A one seed.
Well, they're a one seed, and they will be hosting three rounds of the tournament if they get far enough. Unbelievable. Unbelievable amateur hour all the way around. Good job. Good job, NCAA. Just the whole thing, the whole sequence of events. You screwed us out of the tournament with a stronger resume than I think. Looking through the data, we obviously focused on a few teams. There were five teams that the Canes clearly had better numbers just across the board than we've talked about a few of them here. Actually, one of the ones that's a little bit closer is Mississippi State, but of course, since the Canes won in Starkville, they couldn't do that. And then, you know, after that, they just screwed up the WBIT announcement, too. So, really, just fantastic job all the way around. And, you know, way to go. It's just a fantastic performance. Just unbelievable.
I did not prepare for our Mount Rushmore. So, I'm like...
Well, we got other stuff to talk about. Because we're not.
I know. I'm going to try and do research as we talk. So, I have some ideas.
All right. I think we're probably... I guess the last thing on the women before we pivot to the men... she confirmed it, but I think Allie Stedman's in the portal. Looks like, yeah.
As far as portaling for the women, Allie Stedman has hit the portal. I don't want to speak for Vish, but I don't think we're necessarily shocked, but we are.
No, her role diminished. Actually, Nate actually himself talked about, you know, mm-hmm. She was probably, this is towards the end of the season. She's probably a portal candidate just as her playing time diminished.
She was never in the rotation like fully. She would come on sparingly. She played great defense for us, but her offensive game never really picked up because there was just no consistency of play time. I think if she lands in the right situation, she can have a really great senior season.
Yeah, so, and I think the other thing that hurt her was when we decided to go with two bigs, which we finished the season with for I think the last five or six games and through the tournament. That just took away another. You know, it took away playing time for another wing, and that ate into what her role would have been.
And with three guards coming in next season.
Yeah. Yeah. It's and the Canes do have a top 10 recruiting class for women. So a lot of talent.
Well, actually, it depends where you look. On some sites, we're now 12.
It's a top 10. According to the NCAA, if you look at our conference record, I don't know where that was going. The NCAA
probably thinks it's like a top 50 because
it doesn't count. Doesn't count. But anyway, yeah, so that, unless you have anything else on the, I think just to close the conversation off, this was, as much as we're emotionally invested in the team and we're close to the team and we've not hid that, obviously, we're freaking show with orange and green all over it, named by the coach. You know, this, that does not diminish the fact that this was unfair and illogical to the point that you can't, no one's even barred to try and explain it with any kind of consistent metric.
I do want to say, first of all, thank you to Jada Patrick and Sophia as well. I know she came in midseason.
Yeah, Zulich.
Just shout out to our seniors. Jada was pretty much like was a starter for us all year, played great. I thought, I said it throughout the season, that I thought she was really underrated and didn't get a lot of credit for the things that she did. Obviously a tournament worthy team. We're all disappointed that it came down to such illogical nonsense, but shout out to Coach for another incredible season. We can't wait to see what you guys do next year, and just congratulations to the team in general, everybody. You guys are great, and I hope all of you come back. I want to see everybody back next year. So I know Allie's leaving, but I hope everybody else stays, and good luck to Allie. I'm a fan, so I'll be rooting for you wherever you go.
Yeah, well said. And yeah, congratulations to not just Coach Meyer, but the whole staff. They do a great job over there. We obviously, again, we're close to that program, so we know how hard everyone works over there. And you know, this sucks. But the everything, you know, the team will be back next year.
You all deserved better than
they deserve better. But you know, we'll be back better, better that next year, and you know, hopefully we grow stronger from this. It wasn't fair. They got screwed. You can't undo that. You can only, you know, move forward. And I know Coach Meyer will move this program forward. And like Melissa said, we have a really strong recruiting class coming and adding to a really strong talent base. So the future is very bright.
One of those recruits was on our show. Go back and check our interviews out with Leah Harmon, top 30 player coming in, on top of two other top players coming in. So really, really strong class, and such a well-rounded team too. Another year of playing together, and we keep most of these guys. I think the team is going to be even more special, and there won't be a question next year of whether or not they should be in the tournament, because they're going to be a good seed.
Yeah. Well, apparently we have to go undefeated to make the tournament. So let's not make any rash comments, Melissa. You know,
I
just gotta win more games, bro.
Go whatever, but yeah, it's disappointing. But anyway, do we want to
talk about, go 6-10 like A&M, huh?
Cue the Sox outro.
Don't cry. Keep it chill. Wear good socks.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.